Am I live? Yes, I am. I said live, not a live. If I'm walking around, am I live? Okay. First off, I'd like to thank everybody that came down last week to work with the kids. It was an amazing thing. If you've never done it, next time we do it, you need to participate. It's an enlightening experience for anybody that's ever done it. It's fun, it's hard, it's worry about how it's going to come out, and you know that God's hand's in it, so it's going to come out perfect regardless of what you do. Realize, people, that we're here to spread seeds, we're here to water seeds. It's up to God to do the difference. So we need to be the spreaders and the waterers, and let God worry about the growth of whatever we spread. So, going into Scripture this morning, we are in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and we'll start at verse 1. And the first of this verse is kind of, I was thinking to myself when I saw it, it's like, how do I even apply this? So we'll start off with this. It says, children, obey your parents as in the Lord, for it is right. How many children we have in here? Well, yeah, but you're, yeah. But you understand, you know, when you look at that verse, you're like, this has to do with young children, right? And when we raise our kids up, we need to teach them to obey the parents, right? And it says, so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Why do they need to obey the parents in the Lord? Because it's right. Okay? He answers the question for us. There's no deep thinking even involved in this, is there? It says, honor thy father and my mother and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What was the promise made? The promise was, it may be thee well, it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, my wife, she says that, whenever her father would say to her, you know, I could kill you and make two more just like you. But there was some, look back into the law, there was some harsh things for a child that disobeyed, was there not, Terry? You just went through the Leviticus. What happened to the child that could disobey? What could happen to him? You could stone him. In the law, you could do that. I want to know which harsh-minded parent could do that to a child. That was in the law. So it makes sense when it says, to honor your mother, or your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, that it may be well with thee, you may live along on this earth. Okay, and it says, and ye fathers. Now here's the code, and ye fathers. So that's all us dads out here, right? It says, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath. In other words, don't set out to antagonize the children to anger. And that's a hard thing. You know, sometimes, you know, I always tried to, whenever, not to spank my child when I was mad. Now, I'm not saying don't spank that child. Those child need their rumps torn up. Okay? I had my rump torn up when I was a kid, and you know what? I deserved every one of them. I didn't get half of them, and I did deserve. All the ones, you could fill a book with all the times that I should have got a spanking and didn't. But whenever we discipline our child, we should do it in a way, and so we shouldn't provoke this, because if we provoke these children in anger, is that going to be a teachable moment? Whenever we discipline our child, is it because we're trying to bring them to our understanding? You know, I could think of a time when I was in the Marine Corps, and they were my children. They were my people that were underneath me. I was in charge of the platoon, and they didn't get in formation quick enough for me, and I was I wasn't following the Lord back then, so I commenced to tell them exactly what I thought with no few words, and I don't want to go into the words. It's just that it's something that I do not speak now, and I try not to speak now. But I did it wrong. And how do you think that they felt whenever? Do you think that whenever I started doing that way, what do you think happened to them? Their ears. And then I had my captain heard me saying this, and he pulled me into the office, and he chewed me out without any curse words at all or anything like that, and made me feel like this small. And then I had to go out there and apologize to these men. And he was right for doing so. He taught me a lesson. Now, I learned more from him in that little bit of thing than I guarantee you they ever learned from me when I was screaming and yelling at them and doing all kinds of stuff. See, so when you, so the fathers, we need to be careful how we discipline our children. We don't need to make them angry. We need to make them understand that when we discipline them, it's out of love because we know what the consequences is for the actions that they're fucking down. And we need to teach them the proper way. They need to be emulators of us. I was watching, I hope I get this right. I'm not even going to say it because I can't even figure it out. I can't remember it. It had to do with how, So that's what it's talking about here. And it says, provoke them not to anger, but bring them up. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, don't do this in a way that's going to anger. It's in a way that's going to bring them how God would have them brought up. And understand them exactly who God is. Who they are in God's plan. Because understand, until they're believers, they're not part of the family, are they? Just because my mother and my father was a Christian, does that make me a Christian? It's a personal decision I have to make when I come of age to be able to make it. That's the reason why it's important for us to do these camps and to teach these youngsters. Because understand, we had some of those youngsters that didn't have a father in the family. We may be the only father figure they see when they come to camp. Okay, let's go on the next one. This is kind of a different one. It says, mine says, bond servants and masters. In other words, slaves and masters. Okay? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness in your heart as unto Christ. So, these people that have, when you talk about a bond service, what are we talking about? Huh? Slaves? And that happened not just in ancient times, that happened on up into newer times, did it not? There was a time when a person, whenever he got become an indentured slave, he would take it, he would get in such of a debt to somebody that he would sell himself into slavery for a certain amount of years, that he would be that person's servant, and and in fact, I heard a story on the news the other day that said there's more slaves in this world now than there ever has been. I was going to go there, but I'm not going to go there. I was going to stay out of politics today, but yeah, we're slaves to the government. I said why for. Whoever pays the bills makes the rules. Because they can take that safety blanket that you had and just rip it away at any particular time, can't they? So these servants, they're supposed to be obedient to the masters according to the flesh. And when it says masters according to flesh, what he's saying is these are Christians, these are believers, right? Who is their true master? The Lord Jesus. God is their true master. But this master according to the flesh means the people they are accountable to as they walk through this life in their physicality. Okay? So they're walking through this life, and they're in a position where they have become bondservants or slaves to somebody. And they said, be obedient to them as your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. In fear and trembling. In every way. In singleness of heart. In oneness of mind. When you're here, your job is to do what they say. And you're supposed to do this as if you're doing it to Christ, as if you're doing it to God. It says, with no eye service as man pleasers. In other words, we're not doing it willy-nilly. You're not doing this as to please some other man. When we're talking about eye service, what we're talking about? Come on, somebody. Brown nose. I can't get this eye service. Huh? Just want to see, right? In other words, don't do it just so they can see it, but do it as from your heart, okay? How many times have you seen somebody, you've heard of somebody that when they come to church, they're one person, but when they go out, they're totally somebody different? Are we not on our best behavior when we come here? I am. That's what I said. I am. But what we're saying here is that when we walk out of this church, we should be the same way. We should not be given eye service in here. Okay, yeah, I'm great. I'm loose. I'm doing all this. And then go out there and do something totally opposite. That's not the way we should be living our lives, is it? What does that say to people in the real world? I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I don't want to go to your church. We all are. Yeah. So we're going to be, don't want to give eye service to it as men pleasers. We don't want to be going out and pleasing people. We want to live our lives for Christ. It says, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, we're doing this, and we're doing, why do we do this? Why do we go out, and why are they told to go out and do this, everything they can to be loyal to that master, be dutiful to that master? Why do they do this? Because Christ says it is right in Christ's eyes. What did Christ do when he came to the earth? He did everything the Father told him to do. He was the dutiful servant. He was what we should be. He didn't do anything on the earth. He could have called down angels to pull him off of that cross. He had every authority to do that. But he lowered himself and he did what the Father wanted him to do. And he did that out of love for us. So, but as the servants of Christ, doing well, doing the will of God from the heart. When we say from the heart, we mean willingly, right? Not grudgingly. When you do something from the heart, you do something because you want to do it. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not unto men. When you're doing this work, you do it as to the Lord. You're not like you're doing it unto man. You're doing it because the Lord wants you to. Not because the man proclaim it. Yes, ma'am. Wonderful, we work in the United States, though, so if you get one of the bosses, you can go someplace else and work. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive from the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Knowing that whatever you do, that's good in your life. So it says, any good thing that man doeth, the same he shall receive from the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Whether you be bond or free, when you do good things, when you do things for the right reason, you have these rewards that are set forward you in heaven. When you're working out of the truthfulness of what God is, and you do it for the right reason. Whether it be bond or free, you still receive these rewards. Yes, ma'am. Every 50th year, the automatically Jubilee year, everybody was set free. All debts were set aside. Al. To go on now, and it says, "And ye masters." Now we go back. Now we said something about earlier. We said something about the fathers, right? Now we're talking about the masters. Okay, and four verses telling the slaves what to do, right? Now the masters, it says, "And ye masters, do the same thing unto them. Treat them properly. The same thing. What he's talking to you." Do the same thing back unto them. Now, when he's saying these masters, he's talking to believers, right? There are believers out there that held slaves. Wait a second. They need reparations, right? Down that way. I'm not going there. No, I'm going to stay away from politics. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening. So, in other words, treat them as they need to be treated. Treat them with the respect that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. Forbearing, threatening. What does it mean by forbearing, threatening? Do it. Don't threaten people into ways of doing things. Do it out of love. You know what? If I treat you right, then you're going to want to work for hard for me, right? If I'm giving you everything that you need to do the job, and I'm treating you respectfully as an individual, as a believer in Christ, are you not going to want stay with me and work? Like Terry said, there would be people that would put themselves into indentured servitude. When after the 7 years come up, when they were supposed to come out, they want to stay with the family. They were treated so well under slavery, they would mark themselves with an owl. Basically, they stick a hole in their ear. And they would immediately stay with that family, but they would come more as family. They would be servants to that family, but they'd be part of the family. Why? Because that family has proven to them after 7 years that they are Christ-like and they want to respectfully and properly. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is there respect for persons in him. In other words, your master is also in heaven. Understand that y'all have the same master. There is what one master, right? And he's in heaven right now. There will be a time when he will make a judgment on us. Okay? And understand that he is our master. We are just low when it comes to that master, okay? We should be like slaves to that master. We should be bond servants to Christ. We're actually in the same boat those people are under. We have a higher master up here if you're a slave owner. Remember that, people. For God or that master does not respect your persons. He's not going to say, well, that you're better because you were a master and you're worse because you were a slave. Or you're better because you were a slave and you're worse because you were a master. He doesn't respect people in that way, doesn't he? He doesn't respect the personhood of the person. The level which you have achieved in human society. He doesn't respect the president even more than he respects that individual out there that's living on the streets, that's suffering with addiction. Same respect. God gives the same respect to all of them. And we all have to come to him in the same way, do we not? finally, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. We've heard this. Who here has heard the teachings on the whole armor of God? All the different teachings. I want to read this as a full thing. Then we're going to come back and talk about it. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having loin your girth with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Boy, that's a whole lot. A good pastor can get like four sermons out of that one. Or maybe they might do a whole series out of it. Okay? I'm just a lowly teacher, so we're going to touch on a little bit of it. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where does our strength lie? Does our strength rely in my muscles? Does it rely in this weapon I carry on my hip? Truly, what we're battling against in this world is not the world. It's not the individual participants that are in the world. There is this battle that's going on that we can't even see. It says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, we're just supposed to put on one part of it? No, we have to put on the full armor of God. Each piece of armor represents something. Whenever you put on your armor, if I was to go into battle and I throw on my flak jacket, but I don't put on my helmet, that leaves me vulnerable, right? If I put on my flak jacket and helmet, but I forget my boots, I'm going to be susceptible to falling out early and not being able to finish my battle because I'm physically going to be incapable of doing it. I'm going to run through these thorn bushes, and I'm going to have little natty stickers that stick all over your feet, and you can't even pull them out because it hurts so much. You have to get your foot up there, and you have to snatch it out because if you try pulling, it's like, no, I ain't going to pull that. That hurts. You understand? We have to put on the full armor of God. And there's pieces to the full armor. And whenever you put on your full armor, it was to protect your whole body. It's our responsibility to. Yeah, it's not saying God's going to put this. He says, you have to put this on. It goes on to say, for we wrestle not with against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I told you we're staying out of politics. But no, there is, understand, any government is necessary. They have, God uses them. In fact, God places the authority in place, does He not? If the people in authority were perfect, the authority would be perfect, but they're not perfect, are they? They're inferior to life. Don't think that if you got put up in that position that you would not act your own interests sometimes. We have this fleshly man inside of us that wants what we want when we want it how we want it, right? We have this battle that's constant. Just look inward and you'll understand how imperfect you are if you were put in that position. But we are told to what the rulers say. Are we not? Pray for those? Yes, yes. So, but we're not just, if we take it with this prince of the power of the air, it has not been so. Just look today. I understand, whenever they wrote this, did they understand what the prince of the power of the air could really be? In our day and age, do we understand what the prince of the power of the air could really be? Let me tell you something. You don't even have to be here. The prince of the power of the air is within these cell phones everywhere. Satan has broadcasted his message to every individual out there, and we give that piece of... We give that tool to our children to entertain them. And what do you think's coming over that air? What do you think that's in this air out there that's coming to that particular piece of equipment that's putting it into our kids' brains? Let me tell you something. In this day, if we can't understand the prince of the power of the air, nobody can. Everything's broadcast. Look at what you see on television. Can you see one commercial that you like don't cringe about? We fight against wicked and spiritual things that are going on. There's battles that are going on we don't even know about. It says, wherefore, take on the full armor of God that you may withstand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done so, to stand. You have to put on this full armor, John, because if not, you're going to be a casualty. If you put on this full armor of God, you have the ability to stand. You have the ability to stand through the evil day that's coming in the end, to stand. In other words, to not become a casualty of war. Because there's a war going on, is there not? And if you, even believers, and you don't think they get drug into this war and they become casualties of this war? How many times have you seen somebody that you knew was followed Christ and all of a sudden you see them and it's like, I cannot believe they're going down that road. People that you listen to, the good preachers you listen to on the radio, you're like, I can't believe they walked down that particular doctrine. They used to be right on number. They've lost a battle in this fight. You see what I'm talking about? It says, therefore, so you put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. It says, stand therefore, having gird, you have your loins girded with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. I can't even speak this morning. So, gird your loins with truth. Truth. What truth are we talking about? God's Word. Okay? In other words, we have to be in our Bible. Are these armor physical? Are these actually pieces of armor that I'm going to put on my physical body? These are things we take in our mind and again, we take into our heart, and it protects us against whenever that question comes up. You have the discernment because you have this armor that's surrounding you. Okay? So we're going to get the truth. We're going to bring the truth off into us. The breastplate of righteousness. What righteousness are we wrapped up in? We're wrapped up in Christ's righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, do we? Without Christ, can I do anything right? Without Christ working in my life, whatever I do is like filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. And that's being very nice to termination of what it says. I'm not going to say it here, but y'all go look up what it says. Not very nice. So I'm putting on this breastplate that of Christ's righteousness across me. Now, so I put on this loin that took care of my lower extremities, right? right across here, okay? Now I'm protected here. Okay, I put on this breastplate of righteousness, so I've got this all taken care of, right? So now I've got my torso handled. There's my heart, there's my whole body. You understand that this is where most of our stuff lies. If you get shot in the gut, it's almost a death sentence. Your heart, kidneys, your liver. I like watching fight videos, okay? I've recently got into boxing. I kind of like it. I keep watching. Let me tell you something. If you get hit in the liver, take you down. You get hit in that liver again, I don't care how hard it is, you'll go down immediately. Liver shot's one of the worst things you can do, but it's exposed. Yeah. Okay, so we have our torso completely covered, right? Now, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. So what is this gospel peace we talk about? Come on. Y'all been in my class long enough to know what the gospel peace is. But it's the word of God. But who? What gospel gives you peace to God right now? How about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Is that not our gospel? And anybody that has not accepted that gospel, is he at peace? Understand, there's a fence setters out there, okay? They think they could be on either side. Understand, God's word says that there's one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And he walked this hard road that we walked for 33 years. He walked that road. He did it. He did everything. He was the best servant for Christ. For God. He did everything God wanted him to do during that walk. And then he willingly gave himself up on a cross for us and died for us because guess what? We couldn't do it for ourselves. We were not good enough. Why? Because we have sin inside us. He willingly gave himself up. He was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, that stone was rolled away and he was gone. There is no body of Christ. I hear all the time searching for the bones of Jesus Christ. You'll never find them. Because they're in heaven right now with Jesus Christ. He bodily rose from the dead. And us simply believing in that, gets us from this war with God to this peace. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We don't have to make it any more than what it is. You can go back and you can say this and that, but it's simple. That's what we should be teaching people. The simplicity of the gospel. And what Terry was saying was that when you're shod with the gospel of peace, it's talking about the mobility of God, being able to move and share the gospel with everybody. But you have to have this gospel of peace, and then it put these things, and when it's kind of them being shoes on the feet, is that the mobility, the ability to spread this gospel, because this is not something we should be holding within ourselves, is it? What does the gospel mean? Good news. Should everybody know the good news? And Wesley, I think what Wesley's going is that whenever you shod your feet with the gospel of truth, when you're walking through the world and you're surrounded by false gospels, protect you from moving down the wrong path. That's kind of where you're going with it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you're able to quench the dart of the fiery darts of the wickedness. Now, I never had a shield when I was in the Marine Corps. We didn't use shields. Police officers do. I don't know how well. I don't know if I want to stand behind that shield when the bullet's coming at me. I just don't know if I would trust it. It'd be something in between me. But this shield of faith. And what was the shield of faith there for? There's fiery darts coming at you, right? And there's always people that say, "Why do you do that? Why? What? That's just stupid." Why? There's always opposition against you. So you have this shield of faith. This faith is faith just a willy-nilly belief? We have evidence for our faith. Let me ask you a question. There were people, the apostles, whenever they would take and they believe, that they would spread the gospel, right? There were people saying, "Well, Christ, the disciples come away and stole him away in the middle of the night." That happened back in their day. Okay? So you had these 12 apostles that were going around saying, "No, Christ has risen. We bodily saw him rise." And there was multiple people. There were like 500 people that saw this after he had risen. But the 12 apostles, what we're going to go on right now. These 12 apostles, they gave their life for this truth. Christ rose from the dead. That Son of God, that everything they proclaimed was understand, on the night that Jesus Christ died, where were these 12 apostles? Why were they scattered? They were scared like rabbits. They did not know what was going on. They had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, walked under him. He gets arrested, he gets crucified, and they don't know what to do. Wait a second, these people, they knew he was God. They proclaimed him. They said he was God. Even Peter said that, right? But even Peter denied him 3 times, right, before the cock crows twice. Now, you take these scared rabbit people. 40 days after this, there was a day of Pentecost that happened. They were in this upper room, and Holy Spirit came upon them. They come out, and they were on fire for the gospel, on fire for Jesus. What changes them? They have totally changed the way they were. They've changed from scared rabbits to now roaring lions. Now, these people went on and they proclaimed exactly who Christ was. What happened to most of them? Paul died. Peter, from stories, said he was crucified upside down. That's stories, I don't know how, but he died. John, was he boiled in oil or something like that? He didn't die. He was on the Isle of Patmos and everything. He died originally, but understand, these people suffered for Christ, right? They suffered for this story. At any particular time they could recant, they did not have to suffer anymore. What kind of person dies for a lie? There are people that will die for a lie. Muslim extremists die for a lie. They have been convinced that if they do what they're going to do, They get 72 virgins in heaven, perpetual virgins. I don't know how that works out, but anyway, they get all this stuff if they do what? If they die for their cause. But understand, there's a difference between first century believers. These people would have known. Die and put yourself in this position. Willingly give up your life for a lie that was not going to be. Think about that a minute. They would have known it was a lie. They would have known they were giving up their life for no reason if they do it. What kind of man does that? To me, that's evidence alone that these people experienced exactly what they said they did. And I can take and look back on what these people experienced and understand that what they're saying is the truth. It's evidentiary. There's Lee Strobel made a book called The Case for Christ. I recommend reading it because he was an unbeliever. And he went to all these different theologians and he was following court cases. He was a colonist that followed court cases. That's what his job was, to do court cases. And he would follow these court cases, and he would follow the logical, exactly how the evidence goes. And he started an unbeliever. He finished a believer because the evidence alone pointed toward everything that those guys said were true. So, shield of faith, wherein she shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You need this faith. This faith comes from a known belief. Exactly what you're saying is what your heart is true. Yes, ma'am. I probably took it. Yeah. She'll be able to fail, quench all the fiery darts. Yeah, all the fiery darts. All means all. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This helmet of salvation, it covers the head, right? What's the head up here? The brain, okay? Whenever they say put the Word of God into your heart, what they really mean is understand it and put it up here to be able to be used. Our brain controls our body, right? So what is this helmet of salvation going to be doing? This helmet of salvation is going to be covering the nerve center of everything that we do. Okay, and then you have this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does the Word of God come out of? Mouth. We speak the Word of God whenever we know the truth, right? The Word of God is, it comes out of the Bible and then it comes out of our mouth. It says, so we need to know our Bible. We need to be able to have this. The righteousness, the helmet of righteousness protects the head, which is the brain, which it controls, which we put all this good information. And the word of truth comes out of our mouth because we know. Those whole thank it. Well, yes. It says, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In other words, praying always in all prayer and intention. Prayer in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, diligently we're going to pray. We're going to pray intensely. Because prayer is where it is. How do you fight this war that you can't see? Can you fight it with beans, bullets, and Band-Aids? No, it's a spiritual war we're fighting. Spiritual war we're fighting. So, how do we fight it? We fight it with prayer and supplication, intense prayer in the Spirit with God so that He protects us. It draws us closer to us so that whenever we have these fiery darts come in there, we're protected. And whenever something comes against us, we know the word of truth that we can come back at whatever it is, that we can stand. watching thereunto for perseverance and supplication for strength. In other words, perseverance, non-ending watching. When you say perseverance, you're like steady watching, okay? Whenever you go out on watch at night, first hour's easy, second hour's a little harder. When you get to the fourth hour, you get kind of dozy. You have to persevere through this. You have to be diligent. Diligent in what you're doing. And it says, and for me, and he's talking about, and Paul says, and for me, utterance given that I may open my mouth and make known the mystery of the gospel. Mystery of the gospel. When he says the mystery of the gospel, what does mystery of the gospel automatically lead you to when you talk about Paul? Paul himself was given a specific teaching to go out to the Gentiles. It's called the mystery gospel. The gospel, if you look back, if you don't know this, look back at mystery. When you see mystery in the New Testament, you'll see hidden in God until he was ready to reveal it. There was a message. There was an unfolding that was yet to happen. Understand, God has not worked the same way throughout the years, has he? If Noah did not build an ark, he would have died. How did Noah show his faith? He built a big boat. You know, God showed different ways throughout. That's when he saw the manifold wisdom of God, the different ways that he shows himself throughout the time and age. It says, so, to make known the mystery of God, which I am ambassador in bonds. In other words, Paul says, I am the ambassador for this mystery. I am the one that's proclaiming this mystery, but yet I am in bonds right now. What do you mean by he's in bonds? Prison at this time. But it could also mean that he's enslaved to Christ, could it not? Twofold mystery things. This is something to think about. Which I am ambassador in bonds, and wherein and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's in these bonds right now. He's in a bad ambassador of Christ. So he's like, That he will be able to speak boldly out. It's a hard thing to do. Whenever you are surrounded by the enemy, it's hard to speak boldly. You are surrounded by an enemy that was going to cut your head off if you proclaim exactly who Christ is. How boldly could you speak? Would that not be a test of faith? But there will be times, if you understand what's going to happen in the future, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. I'm going to go ahead and finish. I'm almost out of time. I've got three more verses, or four more verses. I'm going to finish. It says, but ye also know my affairs and how I do. But ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Titus, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, shall make this known to you all things. I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that you might be that he might be comforted in your hearts. In other words, he sent Titus to send them out with this message, exactly what was going on, and to know that, and whenever he comes there, that you might comfort him in his heart. He's bringing my message to you. He says, "Peace be to the brethren, and love and faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. That was sent to the Ephesians by written in Rome by Titus. So he was say, I could imagine Paul. Hey Titus, I feel like doing a letter. Get your pen and paper. Let me go on about this. And then he sits down and he proclaims. And anybody that ever seen the Ephesians or went through Ephesians, it's like a master. You can see growth from Romans to Ephesians. Paul was growing in his grace and knowledge of who the Lord was all throughout his ministry. And that's what God does us. Understand, you may think you know something now. If God allows you, you'll know so much more. And you may be at a predicament where you're able to use it and it not be beneficial to you. That's where Paul was. I don't know where I'm going next time. I still haven't figured it out. I thought about going to John, but then again, I started Genesis, but I never finished. Genesis is a long book. It's kind of a fun book. I'll let y'all know next week whenever I get up here. I'm sorry, Terrell, I can't give you a back to where we're going to go next time. That kind of reminded me, but I'll let y'all know next week. Any questions or comments on the team today? Anything that I missed, or maybe we better? We need it. So that the Lord is. You know, keeps it away from your torso.